Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, wonderful ones. This episode is with my lovely friend, comedian and character comedian tearing up the market for parenting-focused comedy, Alyssa Kiria. God, we had such a lovely time. It's been ages, actually, since I've done one which felt as intimate as this. Thanks for listening to this podcast, you lovely heads. If you know anyone else who eats food, maybe let them know about it too. One way of helping boost and bump the podcast up the charts into more people's ethers is to give it a 5-star review wherever you got it from. So can you do that? I can only make the podcast because I use a site called Patreon where people are kind enough to give me a few quid a month in exchange for all sorts of things like personalised birthday videos, loads of extra content, sometimes bespoke stuff and discount tickets to live shows and early and ad-free episodes. Actually, now I'm listening it, I give my patrons quite a lot, and rightly so. If you might be able to spare like a one-off amount and join the ranks or a few quid a month, I would be so blooming grateful. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. In other news, you can stream my last show, Wench, for free on YouTube now, so please do. And also, I'm still on my biggest tour of all time. It's a show called Metal. There's still months and months to go. I'd love to have you there. I'm all over the place. Loads of them are sold out. Cardiff, Oxford, Bristol. But if you get in quick, I am coming to Ireland for the first time ever, for example. If any of you want to come, Cork, Dublin, Belfast in May. Come, come, come. And two huge bits of news are that my massive London date on the 21st of June at the Leicester Square Theatre is so nearly sold out that we've only added a second one on the 22nd of June. So please come if you're anywhere near London to one of those two. And also in very, very, very big, big, biggie news, I'm going to be doing the shortest run of all time at the Edinburgh Fringe with this show. Just 3 nights, the 9th, 10th and 11th of August in a giant venue for me, Pleasance One. So it's fucking terrifying and genuinely really exciting. Please, 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 if you're coming to the Fringe, could you come and see it there? Oh God, it is nerve-wracking playing a very big room if you never have before, basically. So my point is I need you there, even if you've already seen it. There are links to tickets on my website, on my Instagram and in the podcast notes, or you can just Google it. Alyssa, who is this week's guest, is also mid-tour. God, she's so lovely. We met for breakfast at my house because she's actually only round the corner, it turns out. This is a gorgeous one and there's bits of it that made me properly snort laugh. Some of them are right at the end, actually, so you have to listen all the way through, whether you like it or not. That's where we hid lots of the most golden gold in this one. Enjoy.
Help yourself to any of the So that's a sourdough rye bread. Amazing. From the Good Hope in Hither Green. And then I went to Oscar's in Ladywell,
which is
like a little coffee shop, but I've heard great things about their pastries and especially their cinnamon whirls.
Amazing.
That's a normal croissant. That's a pain au choc. That's a almond croissant. Oh, and then I went to, also in Ladywell, a place called The Larder just to get some milk.
I love The Larder. They've got one in Sundridge Park.
Oh, I wanted to give her a shout out on here because she flipping gave me half price milk because it's only got 2 days on it, but it always lasts a bit longer than the days if it hasn't been opened. And then she said, and do you want that? And gave me a fancy baguette. So I put that in the oven for a bit.
Amazing.
And it's one of those baguettes with a really violent point at the end, like a beak, like a weaponized dolphin's beak. Fun, isn't it? Because there was bread, I just did some eggs and rocket and tomatoes, like, because I like breakfast, like a German old lady of savoury things. And then I got some fancy honey out from France, and also some passion fruit jam that Grace Dent gave me as a gift.
Fancy pants. This looks amazing. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Wow.
Great. This is brilliant. I'm going to take the dolphin's beak.
Yeah, take the beak.
Have a plate. She's got a plate.
Oh, how lovely.
And there's some knives and stuff there.
Yum, yum, yum.
Thank you for coming round to mine. Makes life very easy for me, mate. Thank you.
12-minute drive from the house. Literally, we're like neighbours.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
It's so close. It's so close, darling. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, you...
hot bread.
I just hotted it up because she said it might need it. And when is bread not better? A bit hotter. Or you know when you go to a restaurant and they give you bread rolls and they're a bit hot, that's when
I love that. You fancy, and I get really excited about that.
Fancy
well.
Bitches.
Yeah, totally.
So I've tried to impress you in the same way.
I just went to France and that was all about the bread and the jams and the butter and cake and all that gorgeousness. I was loving that over there.
You can't go fucking wrong bread wise in France, can you?
No, exactly.
And it's still like, I love it that I feel like, 'cause I've got a friend whose family have got a place to stay there. I've been to the same bit quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it's quite like, it's a small village, really. It still really is the vibe that you go to one place for your bread.
Yeah.
And then you go to one place for your
lingerie.
Yeah. Fancy pants. You weren't on tour in France. You were just there for fun.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, fun, loosely. It was a ski holiday.
Oh.
And I've discovered I'm terrified of skiing, absolutely hate it, kept falling down the mountain.
Is it your first try?
Well, since I was like 15 on a school trip.
Yeah, okay.
And my family are like these sort of James Bond sporty people that just like parallel turn and slalom down.
What you've done is described skiing, but you've made it sound really extreme.
skiing, isn't it? So my family can ski.
They turn side to side, and they stop, and they stop when they want.
And they move their skis in the right way down the mountain, and they don't go backwards. Oh, I was going to ask you for some salt. Just had to give up and then ended up just going to the local leisure centre and going for a swim.
Oh, pop it!
Oh, okay, well, that's a bit... So it was a bit crap, but, you know, so I was like chalet girl and just picked the kids up from ski school and made them a little bit of lunch. But then, you know, the bread and the croissants and stuff did make me feel better.
They took the edge off, exactly. I'm a scaredy cat. I think... I went a few times. I was 13 when I went first on a school trip. Or my cousins went to a better school than me on his school trip. Well, you're allowed to bring family.
Well, you hopped on their school
trip. We all did. My mum and stuff as well. It was fun. They went over Christmas there.
Oh, wow.
So we'd have like Christmas out there.
Amazing.
Or maybe you went on Boxing Day or something fun and you got a coach for a million hours over to Italy or whatever. But it was so fun. But I think as a teenager, I didn't like it because I felt like... Well, it's about keeping up. It's also about you're learning something new, so it's about getting better at it and better at it and better at it, and that sort of sucks the fun out of it. Yeah. And then I remember going, I haven't been for a fucking donkeys, but I remember going in my 20s and being like, I just hang around with the nanas. Just do the greens and the occasional, like, slightly harder slope, but only if the snow's lovely and not icy. And I was like, oh, I love it if I can go fucking slow. Mm-hmm. I'm not racing. I'm not daredeviling. I'd have hated that. So I'd have come with you and we could have just pootled about on the stuff that's virtually not even a slope.
Well, I mean, you say that and that's really... But even the green freaked me out, to be honest with you. But I was all right on, like, the practice slopes, you know, where the children went. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing them, like, the button... It was just me on a button lift with, like, 34-year-olds. Because all my family had gone off to the mountains. And I was just on this little practice bit. What? Even the green stuff, I got scared because I fell over on the first day because Will, my other half, had just abandoned me. And then, like, he just, it was literally the first time I skied since I was 16, so I thought he might, you know, stay, but never mind. So, and then I fell over in this, and I couldn't get up. That's the thing, you just can't get up. Mm. And I kept sliding down the mountain every time I tried to get up. And this couple came and saved me. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then literally I got up, well, about 30 seconds later, I crashed again. And the couple just came and found me and went, ah, you again. And so, and that put me off for the rest of the holidays, to be honest. So, never mind.
That. Well, talk to me about this skiing eating then. My memories of it are being insanely hungry, but also not, it wasn't the hungriest a type of PE has ever made me. That was scuba diving. That left me feeling like I hadn't eaten in a month. And like there was an endless need, like a pit, and someone had carved a hole in my actual soul.
That could never be filled.
Yeah. That and the day before my period is how I feel. But but skiing really hungry, but I remember having the nicest hot chocolate I've ever had, being freezing, being out for ages, and then getting into one of those like chalet bars or whatever and having this hot chocolate that was so thick. It was just basically melted chocolate. It was extraordinary.
Amazing. With like marshmallows and all the gorgeousness
on it. I didn't think it was. I think it was simpler than that. I think it was just liquid just fucking chocolate thick. In a little mug.
Amazing.
Wallop. It was in Austria, I think, that.
Gorgeous. Mm. Well, I went to Austria with my school trip, yeah. I remember that. I mean, again, I think that happened on the mountain where I wasn't. But the chalet, we had the chalet. And they made us a cake every day. And I'm not normally a cake person, but if someone's baking you a cake, because I'm more savoury normally, that's my kind of vibe, but, you know. But I got really into cakes, and I got used to having some cake every day, and it was this gorgeous coffee, filtered coffee, but it just tasted better because you were in the cold mountains, you know what I mean? And like you said, you've been out in the cold all day, and you come in, and you've got this gorgeous cake, and what do they make? A lemon drizzle, and then a chocolate and vanilla, and then some kind of berry sponge. And there was this young guy from Orpington, was our, like, chalet guy.
What? Round the corner?
Round the corner. I had a lovely chat with him. He was lovely. And he just whipped up these amazing cakes. Total skills, but it was brilliant. So I loved that.
Love
the fresh bread. Like, real, like you know, like you said, you get your bread from this, you know, same place probably, all nice and warm every day. And I was doing all sort of the preserves and the butter and all that. Good. Yeah, so that was just fab. I loved that. Yes, I loved that. And we did the fondue thing. I can't remember what it's called. The raclette.
Oh, my God.
With the melted cheese.
Oh.
Do you know? Have you tried that?
I've got a friend who's just been and put it all over their Instagram. I don't know. So when I was growing up, we did the one. We'd sometimes do the one because I had an Austrian dad. Or an Austrian nana and a half Austrian dad. He would sometimes do the one where it's hot oil and you get tiny bits of meat or bread on the end of a stick and put that in.
That's nice.
But no, I've only seen them. I've got an Instagram full of cheese.
Have you? Instagram full of cheese.
And I've seen them at like winter markets.
Exactly. It's very exciting. They put this sort of hot thing in front of you and you get these little plastic like spatulas and you put the cheese on it and you put it in the middle of this hot thing and it starts to like bubble and melt and then when it's ready you pour it over your bread and potatoes basically and then just eat it with this gorgeous melted salty cheese. I loved it. It was very exciting.
Yummy.
I loved it. Do you mind if I tuck into this?
Please tuck into all the things.
Thank you so much.
Go for it.
I love a plain croissant. That's my favourite.
Oh good. Perfect. You had a really funny reel the other day about breakfasts and breakfast buffets in hotels. It really made me feel very seen.
Okay.
I loved it.
Yeah, tell me about that. Because I love breakfast buffets in hotels.
I love breakfast buffets in hotels, but I've got misgivings with them.
Okay, yeah.
I love them to the point where I'd never not add it on. And I feel like as an add-on, it's gone from being a fiver to sometimes 20 quid to add on.
Yeah.
And there's got to be, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I do love it.
But
do
you always add it on?
I do always add it on.
You always add it on, yeah. So I've sometimes stopped now.
Right.
But also just to stop myself, really, from the sausages, because, like, before...
If it's just return as many times as you want, like a Premier Inn, you get over-sausaged.
Oh, big time over-sausaged. But I can't... So, like, before I went on tour, right, I was watching this video of Stormzy on TikTok preparing for his tour, right? And obviously. So he went to the gym about four times. He did, like, this sort of... He's got this chef who does just these sort of macronutrient meals. He drinks hot water and he sits with his compression boots on and he's just doing all these amazing things. And, like, his diet was just super healthy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to... Stormzy at this tour. I'm going to be so healthy. I'm going to get a chef for compression boots because I'm sure they have those at the Premier Inn in Chelmsford. I'm going to be really healthy. So I had that was my plan when I went down to breakfast at the Premier Inn in Chelmsford. And then I saw all the sausages, Jess, and I just couldn't resist it. So my plate was literally like croissants, sausages, but and it was great, but I felt so sick afterwards.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I can't do this because I had like another obviously show that night and I felt a bit like,
oh, no.
I thought, well, what would Stormzy say, frankly?
I bet Stormzy, there's no way Stormzy isn't occasionally having a secret sausage.
Of course he is, of course.
Oh, good. I was going to say, we've got another knife. Do you need a non-egg knife?
No, I've got another one. Yeah, I've got that. Thank you. Thank you for because I'm going to go in for some butter on my already buttered pat.
Yes, please.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I love a hotel buffet. Sometimes a scrambled egg makes me sad when it's because that shouldn't be a solid. And I think I almost wish they wouldn't bother with that. I guess because you can do so much en masse.
Well, I'm fancy. I go up to the chef and say, can you make me some eggs?
Can you do me? Can you
That's what I said at the Premier Inn where was I? But they do. They do. Yeah, they don't mind. Well, I mean, I don't know who might have minded, but he said yes. But some of them are like, you know, like you said, they're charging a lot and it's carnage, isn't it? It's like feeding time at the zoo and you just think, well, really, what's happening here?
Yeah. I had a fancy one. I had a fancy one in Bath. And it was amazing, actually, but it was more than you could finish. And it tickles me that it was me and very elderly everyone else. And it was funny. And I think, I don't know, I wish I was a bit braver in those situations. Like, there was mackerel, which I've actually never had. And I know it stinks, but I thought, that's, like, so good for you. And I might love it. And someone made me... What was that thing where you make it with like smoked mackerel and cream cheese? And then it was like a dip, basically.
And
it was my favourite thing of the whole buffet thing they'd done that. It was like an evening thing they'd done. Anyway, I was like, you might love that. Try it. Are you going to try it? And then like the waiter comes over and you're going, yeah, full English, please.
But it's a risk. It's a risk though. Because if you go for the mackerel and you don't get your full English, then you might be sad.
I met some friends for breakfast. I'm making my life sound so bougie. I met some friends for breakfast this weekend. I looked in advance at the menu, obviously.
I always do that.
It had, you know, you get like eggs Benedict, eggs Florentine, and all that. It had one of those. I can't remember what they called it, but it was with Devonshire crab.
Oh my god!
Poached eggs and with the hollandaise and the muffins. So I was like, right, stop ordering a full English everywhere. Get that. Got there, didn't have it.
No.
Had a full English.
Had a full sausages. Got your sausages.
Yes.
Bloody hell! Mm. You do go to some fancy places. And your hotel was asking you what you
wanted. That was in Lewisham.
Oh, was it in Lewisham? Well, Lewisham is getting a bit fancy. Mm. Well,
bits of it.
Bits of it. I'm loving this jam, this passion fruit preserve.
Yes,
preserve, not jam. Is that the same?
What's the difference?
I don't know.
Hey, hang on, Alexa. What's the difference between a jam and a preserve?
From food52.com, preserves have larger pieces of fruit and the gel is usually clear, whereas jam has smaller or mashed pieces of fruit and an opaque gel.
We need to talk about eating growing up. I didn't know you grew up in Egypt.
I know.
Yeah.
So growing up in Egypt meant I kind of grew up with quite bland taste, to be honest, because the supermarkets had nothing in them. It was just really not a lot going on. I mean, God, this is going to sound really fancy, but it is just the way it was over there. We had a cook and he was lovely, but I don't remember any sort of... I think as I was
Did
under
you have
eight.
An Egyptian parent? Or were you
No.
there?
No.
For a parent's work?
Work. Or? But right. My dad is a bit kind of... So my dad is half Greek, half Armenian, but he grew up in Alexandria. So it's a kind of a sort of Arabic-y vibe thing going on. So he speaks fluent Arabic. So does my mum, actually.
Wow.
She picked it up over there. But I didn't, right? So Greek dad, mum who speaks Greek, Arabic. they didn't speak to me in anything except English. Right. And I went to an American school while I was there, so all I picked up was a really strong American accent.
Oh my God, funny that you haven't got it anymore.
I know, it dropped really quickly because I went to quite a posh school when I came here.
Right.
And I think they just sort of beat it out of me, not literally, because it wasn't that time. But like my first thing that I ever said in English school was, because we were a bit behind with the American system, so we only learnt kind of really big writing, not joined up writing. Yeah. In America, you call it cursive.
Yeah.
So when I was in the first classroom on my first day, the teacher started writing in this joined up writing, and I just put my hand up and went, this cursive, I don't get it. And then she went bananas, and I got like put in the corner, and then I was just they didn't like the little American brat. No, they weren't very kind. Mm. No, not very kind. But what was the thing about you?
You had a cook.
Oh, yeah, cook.
But you said the food was quite bland.
It was quite bland. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. The thing is, I think maybe my mum was just sort of feeding us Englishy kind of stuff, because I don't remember a lot of... I think I remember rice, lots of rice and meat. But otherwise, kind of, it was more trying to just keep it to sort of Englishy stuff for when I was little anyway, But I don't... Well, I do remember our cook invented this soup that was basically chicken stock and pasta. Basically like chicken noodle soup, Which and now, anytime like I feel a bit down or a bit ill, I just want that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just is a total memory of coming back from school and just having this sort of brothy pasta soup. And it was just comfort. Oh, loved it.
Gorgeous.
But I remember hearing a story of, because there were quite a lot of Americans in Cairo then living, and the supermarkets didn't have much going on. And when one of the American ladies went back to America and went into one of the supermarkets, she had a nervous breakdown because there was just so much variety, so much stuff compared to like what had happened in, you know, what was going on in Egypt. So, and there was a lot of American kind of junk food filtering through as well, like fruit roll-ups and Tootsie Rolls. So I remember that from when I was little.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And I feel like I'm disappointing you without my tales of like Arabic.
No, not at all. I think it's far more on it. But also it's kind of... This kind of sad
it's
thing.
Sad, isn't
fuck
it?
All in the supermarket.
Yeah, fuck all in the supermarket. But fuck
and when
all
was this like
Englishy?
90s.
We were very kind. 80s.
80s.
Yeah, that's very sweet of you though. I appreciate that. 43, but thanks. I mean, you know.
How old were you when you left there then?
I was 8 when I left. So I was there from like 80 to 88.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Wow.
Well, I'll stick with 90s though. I really like that.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to be like a sommelier about these. I've got some of the sweet pastries to try.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
Is the croissant nice?
The croissant is so lovely. It's sort of gorgeous, flaky pastry, but really squidgy on the inside and very sweet. It's yummy. And with that lovely passion fruit preserve, not jam.
Oh, it's not big about the fruit and it's not her pick.
Exactly. It is fabulous, fabulous. What have you got going on over there?
I've got a bit of almond croissant, which is fucking lovely. Oh, that is rivals the best one I've ever had, which is from another local place called Le Delice. But look at how much of the almond goo there is in that.
That's amazing.
That is fit. There's like a centimetre of it.
Gorgeous,
but what's really impressed me is the outside. It might just be because this is like made half an hour ago or something.
Wow.
The crunch on the outside is fucking lush.
The crunch on this is gorgeous as well.
Their croissant crunch game is strong.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to try the cinnamon whirl because that's the thing they're
famous
for. Yeah, go for it.
Cinnamon? Biminum. I haven't slept.
Mm.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try a bit of this.
Wow. Wow. That is so cinnamony.
You know what? I've never tried a cinnamon whirl before.
That is amazing.
I know, that is a bit... I know, because I don't normally eat. Like,
oh, it's lighter than it looks like it's going to be.
Oh my God, look at the inside. It's so
pretty. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Wow.
Whoa, I love cinnamon. That's so nice.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Mm.
That is amazing. How have I lived without these things?
Oh my God, I love
that. That's amazing. That's so lovely. How have I lived without a cinnamon whirl?
Yeah, I'd never normally choose it. It's always Steffi's favourite.
Okay.
She's at one upstairs right now. That is fit. I expected it to be more sickly than that. It's not at all. It's proper celebration of cinnamon. I like really light, gorgeous.
Really lovely. Really yummy. Really yummy. Mm. Thank you. It's gorgeous.
Mm-mm-mm.
And finally tomatoes.
Yeah, come on.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So, when you were 8, you came back here. You went to a posh school.
I did go to
a boarding school.
No. A private school.
Okay.
Girls' school.
In South East London?
Bromley. Hayes.
Okay.
Hayes.
I think there's a misconception if you didn't go to private school. I've been told by people who have been. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong in your case. You think the food would be great there, but it's shit.
Oh, dreadful.
Like the shittest of shit.
Same shit as the, I was imagining at other schools. Maybe right. Were, I don't know. But it was shit. I mean, same old sort of slop. Oh. I remember liking Fish Finger Fridays. That was good.
Yeah.
I liked Fish Finger Fridays.
Who doesn't like fish fingers?
Well, exactly. Who doesn't like fish fingers? Always make about five extra when I'm making them for Lola.
Oh, God, I don't know how you don't make... I don't know how you don't make... Also, it's one of the things that they've sort of perfected...
Yeah.
The fake versions of as well.
Oh, the fake version. Yeah. I thought it was meant generally. I was like, yes, they have.
Yeah, they're perfect. They're perfect generally. It's also one of those things where, you know, like when you get people go, oh, I've hacked it. I've learned how to make an exact McDonald's cheeseburger at home. And you think, why?
No.
Why?
And why?
But that's with fish fingers. I think, don't.
No.
Don't need to. They've nailed that.
No.
They've
absolutely what would they do? Their own little breadcrumbs.
You will never, ever recreate the perfect bagginess between crumb and innards. How do you eat your fish finger? Do you just take bites? Or is it more complicated?
I like to grab it and have it just hold it and eat it like that.
Like a lolly.
Like a lolly. I don't mind a sandwich.
I like a sandwich and some white bread.
With a bit of butter.
Yeah.
But if I'm just like, yeah, I just like a canapé.
Do you want any sauce in your sandwich with it?
Salt.
But salt.
Yeah, just salt. I love salt.
You've made my... But as you said salt, I thought, yes. And then thought, and a squeeze of lemon.
Oh, no, you're so fancy, Jess, but you're much fancier
than I'm not
fancy. You've got tartar sauce going on in there as well?
No, I don't want that. I want ketchup. But I think I want ketchup is for that vinegar. I want some acid.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I want a tiny squeeze of acid of some sort.
Yeah, okay.
But I think lemon would do it, and I really want to try a fish finger sandwich with lemon.
A bit of lemon. Now. And I think now I might add a bit of ketchup, but only a little bit.
Yeah, just for the...
Yeah, just for, yeah.
Sourness.
Fabulous. I'm going to have that for lunch.
Oh,
I've had fish finger for ages.
Yes,
yeah, so those more into nuggets now, which I don't mind. I do love a nugget.
Yeah,
maybe I'll cook some of those bad boys up for dinner tonight.
I remember it's been a long time, but I remember wanting to eat the ends off. I think I do a fish finger in the same way as I do a Kit Kat chunky.
And
I want the ends off first.
Oh, lovely!
Then the roof.
Oh, the roof. Yeah. So you take the roof of the breadcrumb off.
Yeah.
And
basically leave it in a small trough of breadcrumb and then chomp. Never had the patience to fully decrumb.
It's so funny. That is a real process. Yeah. So like taking the ends off and then it's like lifting up like a little hood of a car. Like going in there for the fish. Fascinating. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Like a shark chomping down the sides.
But the ends are the best though because you've got the most breadcrumb going on there.
Is there anything that you think demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way?
Yeah, ramen. Mm. I love ramen.
Mm.
And I don't like it when I see people with a bowl of ramen because it's got all the lovely bits in it that just sort of just go dive in and eat like the noodles first and then they do a bit of this or that. I like to get a perfect bit of everything on my big spoon. So I sort of twirl the noodles up. Pop them on there, and then a bit of the veg, and then a bit of the egg, and then a bit of whatever, like a prawn or whatever's in there, and get it all on the spoon, and then
I go. With some of the sauce as well.
Yeah, that lovely, a bit of sauce, yeah. I feel like you need to experience all the things that the ramen has to offer on your spoon. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I love that.
That's so patient and grown up.
Thanks.
How do you feel when people... I'm not saying I do this, but maybe I do. Pick up the bowl and drink the liquid.
I don't mind that, actually. Mm. I don't mind that at all. Because, well, at the end, obviously, not at the beginning.
I remember the first time I had a ramen, like, looking around afterwards and being like, oh, I am the only one who's finished.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody just leaves.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just stops when they're full.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I find that fascinating when people do that.
And then you go, oh, I've... drunk every drop of liquid and not left a crumb in here.
I love that you said that because I don't stop when I'm full. Mm. I don't really know what that feels like, but
I don't feel full till I've finished.
Till I've finished, well, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, so you let the bowl decide.
Yeah, the bowl decide
when you're full. Do you, because I'm too shy in a restaurant to drink it out of the bowl. Do you do that?
Yeah. Depends on the restaurant, I think. Okay. If I was somewhere with a Michelin star, I'd be too nervous.
Wagamamas?
Do you know? Yeah. No, fucking, yeah. Also depends on the company.
True, yeah, true.
I think if it was first date, I don't know if I'd be bold enough.
Yeah.
Probably would these days.
Yeah.
You don't want to fuck about accidentally ending up in a relationship that doesn't want to know you do that.
I love that.
You don't want to. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, fair play to you.
Yeah.
I think, and also it feels so good when you drink it out of the bowl. Another thing I like to do, which I'm not brave enough to do sometimes in front of other people, is cheesecake. If I get a slice of cheesecake, it always tastes better if I eat it with my hands.
Lovely.
Like, no fork. But I get a bit shy to do it in front of other people, especially at dinner. But, like, I really want to do it, but I don't. And then I get sad and I'm eating it with my fork and just feeling, like, resentful.
Funny, isn't it? These little bits of etiquette, like, it makes any difference.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I think it, people might be like, what if I were just sort of going in there with my hand?
Just scooping it from the main cake.
No, exactly. Not using, like, a knife or one of those little cake servers, just going for it.
Yeah,
with
clawing.
Just go in there and
handfuls of cheesecake out.
I did mean it when it was on my plate already, but why not? If you're going to do it, just go for it.
Yeah.
But you're inspiring me. I think I'm going to go, I'm going to do that in Wagamama's. I'm going to drink from the bowl and I'm going to eat cheesecake with my hand because life's too short.
I think Wagamama's even do a cheesecake sometimes, so you can do both things in the one place.
God.
Just do the whole flooding, I call it, do they, when you try and get over a phobia of hand and bowl eating in public.
I'm going to do it and I'm going to take a video and I'm going to send it to you.
Thanks.
You'll love that.
I'd love that. Oh, God,
you'll love it.
Oh, my God, I live for that.
Grandiliocious.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiliocious.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm interrupting my own podcast with Alyssa to glory in some of your most fantastic answers to my listener questions. The question that is still gifting us glorious answers was when I asked, what is the most or the least fresh thing you've ever eaten? This is with spring in mind. We'll start with Joanne on Instagram. Starts with just a fit list. Right, I'm just going to read it out. Look, I'm hoping that she means the most fresh here. Strawberries, raspberries, loganberries, apples. Fresh from the farm in Essex I was meant to be fruit picking for during my Saturday job there when I was 17. I was nearly always hungover, so my fruit nicking was very much needed. Oh my, but I love it. I thought this was going to be a wholesome story about having grown up somewhere in the wilderness, plucking fruit whilst holding the hand of an attentive parent. No, it's a story about theft and alcohol not being consumed responsibly. I flipping love to hear it, Joanne. Thanks for your message. From Joanne to Jan on Instagram, who says, and again, we've got some freshness being bragged about here, French beans and tomatoes from my garden. Oh, lovely work. They go on 0 seconds if you count all the beans I was eating whilst picking them off. Hang on, that means you've been eating French beans raw, does it? Do you know what? All pervs are welcome on this podcast. Every single one of you creeps, you're welcome. I'm happy for you. That is crunchy, chewy business, a raw French bean. But, you know, do you know what? I've never tried it, so I'm not allowed to knock it anymore. We're going to end this episode's contributions from you lot with this amazing voice note from Katie.
So as a very lovely, exciting bit of our honeymoon about 10 years ago, we went to Borneo as we were doing a little travelling trip around Asia, stopped off there for a few days, and, you know, being the diligent travellers that we were, had a copy of The Lonely Planet, and it was talking about, you know, all the things to see when you've got a handful of days. So we travelled off to this very exciting looking food market where it's all little stalls with all brightly covered roofs and fabric flags and all of that lovely stuff everywhere. It's basically just people cutting up animals and then setting fire to them in front of you. So we thought, oh yeah, we'll have a go on that. We'll have a go. We'll have one of those skewers. Lovely, delicious. What was that? Oh, skewer full of chicken hearts. Brilliant. Keep going. Next stall. Try all the different things. Go back home with a bag full of lychees that we picked up off the end. As we're reading this Lonely Planet guide, we then realise that it says, but if you're a tourist, under no circumstances eat anything there because your body just doesn't have the enzymes for it. So that was bad. But to top it off, when we then opened that bag of lychees, absolutely filled with live insects. Don't know if that means we've eaten the freshest thing ever or if that's the least fresh, really.
Oh my god, I might have a nightmare about the lychees bit. I might. Oh, that is the sort of thing that sears into my brains. Is grim. It started so romantically, this story. I really thought, do you know what, I'm not sure why producer Laura's put this one in, because this is just rock solid bragging. But then, did it take a turn? Well, do you know what? Not everyone's got access to that Lonely Planet advice. I think I don't want to know what the physical aftermath was of your bravery, but I commend your bravery nonetheless. Of course the listeners of this podcast have eaten some of the freshest and least fresh things in the universe. Of course you had. This question's the gift that keeps on giving. There will be more of your answers in the next episode. But for now, let's get back into this brilliant episode with Alyssa.
Tell me about time where you ate the same thing every day. I haven't asked someone this for ages. Or was there ever one?
Are you a big slut for variety like me?
No.
No, you like to know what's happening.
I like the same things.
Give me some details.
Well, I'm a comfort eater, so things that, like, trigger comfort for me is things that I just love, like, to eat all the time. So, like that macaroni soup, I think I ate that every day for my entire childhood. Yeah. So it started off in Egypt every time we came home from school, and then it just carried on when we moved back to England. Every time we came back, this is like, so I remember this, we got fed so much in my house, so my mum's a big feeder as well. Yeah. So we'd come back from school, and this is before dinner, Jess. Yeah. She'd make us this macaroni soup and hot dogs.
Legend.
And then there's dinner later.
Yeah.
But she's similar, like, she's tiny and she watches what she eats loads, but she just wants to feed everybody else, you know. That macaroni soup every single day, I think for 13 years.
I still like it now.
When I'm ill, exactly. But I also now, I mean, now I'm a bit fancy. I do add some veg in now myself. I do a bit, you know, some carrots and onions and shit. I mean, my mum would be like, what is going on? That is like messing with the programme of just literally like chicken stock globs and pasta and water. But, you know, yeah, I had a few, like, just it looks like a tiny bit nutritious. Mm. So it's not just salty chicken stock, but it is good. I mean, it's great. It's great. So I get these ramen noodles from the Japanese supermarket, and actually Amazon do them as well. My sister says they've got crack in them because you just literally, you just get addicted. And you know, if I tell you the name, if you try them, you will get addicted to
them.
Yeah,
tell me the name.
Shin ramen, they're called. Shin ramyun.
And do they come
noodles.
In like a cardboard bowl? Do they come in like a foil-covered oblong of hard, just dried
packet? Yeah, just like a square packet. Yeah. And so you've got the noodles in there and you've got...
They look like super noodles, with Japanese rice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And square. Yes. And they're kind of, yeah. I tried them, I think, thinking back to that magical day when I first tried them, probably about 4 years ago now. And now, I wouldn't say every day, but I'll have them at least three times a week. Like, I absolutely love them. And now I added gyozas, pak choy, it's just gorgeous. Yeah.
Peppers.
Oh, no, I haven't tried peppers, but that's a good idea. Well, why not? Why not, Jess?
I might have
bean
just said,
sprouts.
I might have been weird.
Well, not weird. No, because you put peppers in the stir fry, don't you? So, yeah, why not? Yeah, put some peppers in there. I haven't done it yet, but why not? Prawns. I love a prawn in there. So I love all that kind of shit.
Great.
All that kind of shit. But I think, so my parents divorced when I was 13. And so, and my dad, whenever he came to visit, would bring like Chinese food or kind of Japanese food. That was the vibe.
Yeah.
And then obviously I've been having this macaroni soup that was like a thing from my mom and my childhood. So a ramen is like, I went to see a therapist once. She was like, ramen is like having your mother and father in a bowl.
It is, though.
It's got the pasta and, like, the Chinesey and Japanesey Asian thing. I love
this therapist from Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry, Liverpudlians, for that awful accent.
Having a mother and father in a bowl. Liverpool via Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing.
Oh, my God, that's so funny when you get one of those moments with the like, shrink where you're like, God.
It didn't stop me. Yeah, eating it though.
No, it's not meant to stop you eating it, it's meant to realise you're eating your want to be parented still they're both at the same time.
They're together in my bowl.
Bloody hell.
But I love it. So that's something that I eat very, very regularly. Love it. Love a bit of ramen.
So you do like regularity.
Yes, I do.
And you do have things at the same time. Have you always had a happy relationship with eating? You don't have to answer if you don't want.
No, of course. That's why I love this podcast. I love that you talk about all this stuff, really, honestly. I love it.
No. It's been ages since I've had one chilled enough to get into it with someone, actually.
Right.
Doing lots of live shows and out and about ones, and I only ask, I think, these days when it feels relaxed enough to. But, like,
yeah.
I've barely met anyone who hasn't. I've barely met anyone who's been like, yeah, it's been easy peasy all the way through.
Exactly.
Always cheerful. Never stressful.
Never stressful. Mm. I mean, it's a love. It's a love between me and food, but it was, I think... It's something that has helped me kind of deal with feelings and stuff going on. Like when life was just mad, like, you know, back in those days when I was, you know, my parents divorced, I was getting bullied a lot. Food was just the thing. And it's always there. It's like, you know, and I still find that now if I need that comfort, it's just something like, well, sounds a bit rude, but something hot inside you, isn't it?
But it's that feeling comforting
of like comfort in it, like from the inside. And I'm working on it, I'm in therapy and all this stuff, but there is still nothing that comes close to just saying, all right, if I'm feeling all the feelings about whatever's going on, whether it's stuff from my past or stuff happening now or, you know, a mix of the two, which it normally is, food in some way will always sort it out, even for that minute.
Yeah, it literally does. Yeah. Like, it's everybody's a comfort eater who doesn't just eat for fuel, and I think that's a very rare, controlled
very
thing
rare.
Where I think actually you've turned off the noise of a lot of your human instinct if you can just eat for fuel.
Yeah, and you track.
I think the vast majority of people, even people with really healthy relationships with eating, do listen to that call to, like, eat for joy.
But equally,
there's another thing, which I've also had to, and also definitely still have, and I'm finding really interesting on tour, is eating to numb a big emotion, because big emotions, sometimes even good ones, are just overwhelming. And actually, eating when you're not physically hungry, but it doesn't matter whether... Sometimes you are as well physically hungry because you were too nervous before the scary thing or too full of adrenaline to have an appetite. It definitely numbs emotions in the same way that some drugs and alcohol could.
100%.
And I've really noticed that... So I'm not really drinking very much. I don't not drink, but, you know, I might have two drinks of alcohol a week, sometimes less. And then if there's an event, I'll have a couple of drinks, but, like, whatever. I have a different lifestyle to even a year ago, and definitely 2 years ago, whatever. I've noticed with that in mind that when I come off stage, and I'm very early in my tour, so I'm still really nervous before every show, and I'm still really full of whatever chemicals you get after a post-show. And I've noticed that I will come off stage, and I'm making sure I know I don't really want to dinner before, but I'm making sure, like, I have a really, you know, proper snack on the way to it, so I'm not starving. I can't actually be hunger kicking in. When I get off stage, I want to eat something straight away, like the second I'm off stage. And that is my body going, comfort, or numb, calm down, get the emotion down, in the same way that it feels lovely to drink a pint really quick after a gig.
Same thing.
It's you're just quickly taking the edge off what is an overwhelming amount of emotion in that moment.
1,000,000%. And I found exactly the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, on tour, 100%. Like, I really tried. I said to myself, right, Lisa, don't go getting takeaways or eating loads after, you know, your shows, because, but then, you know, the other night I was on such a high. I had such a great, I had such a great show, and I'm also not drinking very much at the moment. So my first instinct is always to have a glass of wine, but I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So off I went to get some McNuggets. And I had a lovely time with
my McNuggets. Yeah, but it was bloody great.
But it was. But then on the weekend, after my show, I was literally like, you know, that kind of shaky, buzzy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gym was still open.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
No, but no, this doesn't end in that way. But I thought I could do that.
I have trained once after a gig.
How did that go? Horrible. Oh, was it awful? Okay, well, you've made
Like, you are actually exhausted.
Yeah, you are.
And I was just like, I couldn't even hit 50% of my, I was like, I can't do it. I actually got fuck all in the tank. It's an illusion.
Okay, well, that's
it's a quick
good.
Burning fire well, in me. That is not like, actually, you are hungry. You are tired.
Okay.
It's a shit time to train.
Well, I'm glad I went with my instincts then. And I had a glass of Malbec and some calamari and chips. So,
I do really think take joy where there is joy. We're not going to be on tour every night of our lives.
Exactly.
These are, there are, you know, some dates over 6 months.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
take
yeah.
joy where there is joy. But also, you know what I think half the battle is, you can hear what the noise is. Yeah. And actually, if you haven't eaten loads for hours before because you were nervous, you probably are physically hungry too.
Yeah.
But that very first shout of wine or something now.
Something now.
And it's going to make your body scream for something that's not necessarily like a fucking spinach omelette.
No.
Right? You're going to want something fucking beige and fried and delicious.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, always. But that's the thing. And I know that. And like, you know that. But sometimes I'm like, all right then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but then you've got to be all right. I think that's also really good.
It's fine.
To be like, all right then. Yeah. It doesn't mean, I think there's a difference between that and going, oh, and that's that old diet mentality of me going, well, I've and that's gone now for me.
Yeah,
but I do remember there'd be so much shame and be like, oh, fucking chips at fucking midnight and free wines and, I had a great time, but now I'm going to end up doing this every night.
Yeah.
Or like, then, now maybe I'll go and get another wine then because I fucked it now.
Yes.
Like, or maybe I'll go get a second portion of chips. That's when I start to feel ill about it.
So true.
And that's like when I remember a gig, this is years ago, but having a horrible, horrible club gig. Horrible. And it's very rare, but a really horrible act was on and the audience were hard work. It's Christmas. It's one of the last club gigs I ever did because it was so vile. And I remember coming away from that and the emotions were horrid there because it was adrenaline plus you stunk a gig out and it had like a horrible altercation with a comedian, which is so rare.
Oh, no.
But I remember walking through, literally looking at takeaway shops like an alcoholic looks at pubs.
Totally.
I was looking more going, oh, what do I do? And then I'm going to get something.
Pushing your face up against the glass.
And then I want something in there. And then I want something from in there.
Yeah.
And
then
you just had to have a conversation. And that was at the very, very beginning of me trying to work out what slash how was fucked with my relationship with eating and how to sort it out. But that, and I think my therapist had said, keep a track, which actually I didn't find that helpful, but this I do will always remember. Keep a track of when you want to eat and then why you think it is.
Why?
And
exactly.
I was like, well, that was a very extreme example.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I remember that story reminded me of the worst Edinburgh festival I ever had a million years ago. And I was on my own in this little uni room by myself, doing my show by myself. It wasn't doing very well. So I just come back to my little room by myself and just eat I would literally work my way through the different takeaways and I'd be having like a pie and chips and then I'd go back and get a battered sausage obviously and like because that wasn't enough.
You chose the comedy item there to go back for. I enjoyed that.
I forgot my battered sausage.
Amount of times I'd be like clearly pretending I'm not ordering for one.
Exactly. I'll get that to share, shall I? Yeah.
Even when I was buying these pastries this morning, I was thinking, don't reassure them it's not just for you.
Don't do it.
It's none of their business.
It's not their business.
Could be if you want.
Don't justify it. Yeah. But I think, like, then probably same with you before. I mean, that was before I started therapy and stuff. I think I didn't want to feel any of the feelings, like none of them. Now I can handle some of them, whatever was coming up, like, you know, like that was the worst gig ever. Everyone hates me. My reviews are dreadful. This is awful. Mm. And I just couldn't handle any of it. So I just ate them all, you know. And now I think I can handle more of them. Yeah. And also I'm just being a bit, trying to be a bit kinder to myself about it. If I want to go and eat a battered sausage because I don't want to feel these feelings, then that's okay.
Yeah. It's just knowing why you're doing it. And then there'll be sometimes where you're like, well, sometimes where it isn't midnight and you can go, oh, I can go to the gym instead, or I could do this.
Yeah,
or
definitely.
Or even like the stuff you've done in the run-up to
a
bad thing, meaning that whack of emotion isn't as enormous because you're better prepared for it. It's nothing worse than a first Edinburgh. Fuck me. Oh, the amount of people who go, how does anyone go back again and again? You're like, I get it. It's horrible. I don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
We're only comedy fans listening, but Edinburgh is... like,
it's hardcore. Really, it's like going through a war.
It's really hard on the old mental health.
It is, yeah. And the whole, you're there for the whole time and it's just like brutal. But I love what you said as well about that kind of fuck it mentality, because I used to do it as well. Like, well, I've had this bad sausage, I might as well go have four pies and two bottles of wine, 20 fags.
That's diet culture, does
that. Yeah, that is that. It's
much trained into you, because if you're restricting, you're obsessing, and what it does is mean that when you have one... I always think the best example is like one celebrations, mouthful of something delicious. Yeah. You're like, that's it.
That's it now.
I'm going to, and then you binge.
And then it's the shame. Yeah. And then it just, so I think, actually, and it's so lovely you talking about that, because I don't think I've done that for a while now. Yeah, and I used to do that a lot. I know, that great.
Yeah.
Now, like that night after Leicester, I had my calamari. I then did order some chunky chips because they were bloody gorgeous.
Yeah.
I had two glasses of wine. Done. And I had a lovely time and I went
up. What you've had there is a meal, babe.
Absolutely. But before, I think if I was like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be not drinking and I'm supposed to be not eating, I would have gone, well, fuck it, I'm going to order that and that cheesecake and this, that, and drink the bottle of wine and then another one. I mean, who knows?
But it's so fascinating. I think the tour kind of really fucks with your equilibrium.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting looking at, like, I think it sounds like you're on a similar journey in terms of, like, trying to connect to, like, listening to your body and going, what do I want? And then going, right, I think it's that and that. And why do I want that?
Yeah.
And is it because of feelings? Is it because I'm hungry? Is it... And so often going, where am I then? I think I'm doing my period because I can't feel full today. Or I think, why am I eating like I'm hungover if I haven't had booze for 2 weeks? Oh, I've had 5 hours sleep. Or like, just all those things.
That's nice.
It's just a massive learning curve,
it's
isn't
such
it?
How a
your
learning
body,
curve.
What your body's going to scream at you for.
Yeah.
Depending on where it's at.
And just being, like, just nice. Mm. Nice to your body, nice to your mind, and going, right, what's going on? Like, I try and, you know, my thing at the moment is trying to talk to myself like I'm a friend. Like,
going,
hello, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, in a nice way. And then sometimes, like, you know, it was just finding different answers than I would before, which would have been like, right, no, like, I don't want to connect to any feelings, I want to connect to anything. But now it's just starting that conversation with yourself, isn't it, a little bit?
I love it.
Quick fire questions.
Crunchiest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, God. That's not quick, is it? That's a really slow response to that question. One of those cornflake chocolate cakes.
Perfect answer. Okay, if you had to, would you rather eat a little bit of AstroTurf or afterbirth?
AstroTurf?
Okay.
For fuck's sake.
Sorry. Just trying to think of things that sound a little bit... Or 5 second rule, yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about food that you won as a prize.
Oh, food that I won as a prize. Oh, I won a plate of meat for throwing a welly really far. I was quite young as well, so I wasn't that interested. But now I'd be like, bring it on.
Come on.
I was like 14.
Come on.
Yeah, no, it was great, but I threw the welly really far. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, thanks. I appreciate
about the old
your
welly
support.
Throwing, because they're not babe. Lined.
Now it's time for the big then question.
A bad man gets on so many late trains that his delay repay refunds make him a multi-gazillionaire, and he uses the money to build a big laser that he starts zapping everyone to smithereens with. Let's be honest, it's the last thing we fucking need right now, so luckily he's agreed to stop it and never have done it, but only if you and Willie, it does have to be you, Alyssa, agree to teach 100,089-year-old white men to twerk until they can actually do it one at a time, all whilst chanting "Holidays are coming" from the Coca-Cola Christmas ad, as if you've lost your mind, even though you haven't. But it means your mouth's too busy for snacks. It sounds impossible, but you do it. you're a hero. You've gone down in history as the woman who saved us all from the delay repay gazillionaire's lasers, and your reward is the adulation of all people for all time, but your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams, and you're really hungry because that was exhausting. What are you having?
Okay, that's amazing. First of all, to say, I'm going to have a really amazing dirty Chinese takeaway.
Yeah.
I'm going to have egg fried rice.
Yeah.
Sweet and sour pork balls. Mm-hmm. As I say when I'm on the phone to the Chinese, I go balls really clearly so they know that I mean the balls with all the batter, not the Hong Kong style with less batter, and with the sauce on them that is like luminous,
yeah,
like glow in the dark.
Absolutely. Something out of Mr. Burns' factory.
Yeah, the factory. Yeah, when they had that factory explosion.
Glowing.
Yeah, sweet and sour sauce, just like Mr. Burns' factory. And I want duck with pancakes. And I want a really big fat spring roll. Me and my sister, that's what we call them. We're like, let's have a big fat spring roll.
One, like a
massive
burrito.
Fucking one, like a burrito.
Yes.
That's what I would like, please.
You've gone all starters, which I love. Oh, no, actually, I suppose there's
rice in there, but that's
rice in there, which is quite amazing.
I love the starters. I could just live on the Chinese starters.
No ribs?
I don't mind a rib, but I don't think they'd be in my dream. Not my dream.
Not in your dream.
Yeah, not in my dream.
And you sound like a salt tooth like me, but you don't have to have one, but do you want a pudding item in there?
I like a pudding. I love a cheesecake.
With your hands.
With my hands. Eaten with my hands. Cheesecake eaten with my hands, please. Just a plain vanilla, not baked. Just, can I specify, please? Yeah, because I don't like that.
Thank God you did.
I thank God, exactly, because this is obviously going to happen. So I want my proper cheesecake, not
anything
baked.
Anything specific to drink with it?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to cut down on the booze at the moment, but if I was drinking, I'd have my favourite wine, which is Villa Maria New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. Fucking gorgeous.
Ooh.
The Lola said to me, it was over lockdown when I was drinking quite a lot of it, she said, "Mummy, your breath smells like diarrhoea." And I said, "Lola, that's so rude." She went, no, I mean Villa Maria. So either, not ideal, to be honest. Both not ideal. So I'd have that. But if I wasn't drinking, I'd have a Diet Coke.
If it makes you feel better, when my half-sister, who's much younger than me, was about 3 or 4, someone in a room in the house opened a bottle of wine with a, like, you know, the cork came out of a bottle of wine. And at 3 years old, my sister went, "Mummy's pop."
Mummy's pop. I love it. That's brilliant. That does make me feel better. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Thanks for doing my silly podcast.
I loved it. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute dream.
Podcast. What a total dreamboat she is. Make sure you're following Alyssa. She is at The Funny Mummy UK on Instagram. And go and see her on tour. And come and see me on tour, please. Come and see both of us on tour, not together separately. Okay, yes. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, also, you can download Wench for free now off YouTube. Okay, bye.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.